But this morning we're gonna talk about someone that was asleep in a storm. And maybe you're the kind of person that likes to sleep in storms. I'm personally the kind of guy that loves to open up the windows when a good rain, a good thunderstorm's happening, and I'll actually just fall right asleep. But the question I want to ask to kind of start to get the mind primed this morning is, have you ever been like scared or afraid in a storm? Now, surely most of you all will have experienced this at some point in your life. I remember a very specific story that I want to share with you guys this morning. Now, most of you know that I was in landscaping before Ozark, before I went to Ozark after I got out of the military. And I remember one day in particular, we were mowing in Columbia. And when it would rain while we were doing landscaping jobs, it would typically just be either a phone call or a text message that said, hey, either come to the shop or maybe wait 20 minutes and see if it's going to stop raining so you can continue on with your work. But I remember this specific day, I got a phone call that said, get your rear end back to the shop and get out of here. And so the sky prepared to get dark, started to get dark. And I remember driving home just kind of afraid of what could come. I had the radio on. And as I'm driving, I'm hearing on the radio, there's like multiple tornadoes within like 20 miles of where I'm driving to get home. And I remember just kind of being afraid. But, you know, like Midwestern folks, we don't actually do the right thing when a storm comes. So my mom went to the basement when I got home. My father and I went out and sat on the front porch in the lawn chairs and prepared to watch the chaos. And in fact, that day specifically, my mom had forced us to go downstairs because the radio they were listening to announced that there was a tornado like in the neighborhood of 5 to 7 miles away from my parents' house. And so I remember I was scared that day, and I was scared specifically of a storm. And this idea of storms is kind of prevalent in our culture, right? There's movies made about storms. You know, a movie that came out in the 90s called Twister covers a series of tornadoes. There's TV shows that list the 10 greatest storms of all time. Unfortunately, it hurts my heart to drive through Joplin and still see the ramifications of a tornado that happened 12 years ago that destroyed so much of a city. But, you know, we find interest in storms, and so this morning I want us to talk about a specific weather-related Bible story to you guys. And I'm going to give you my dominant thought of my message right out in front. So you please don't check out. It's the shortest message you're probably going to get from me in a long time. So don't check out. But I want to give you this thought to take with you. When we trust God, fear loses control over our lives. I'll say that again because I want you to take it home with you today. When we trust God, fear loses control over our lives. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25. I'll touch some of the highlights of the background information we might need to know. Now, this passage is taking place on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee was actually a lake, not really a sea. And so picture Lake of the Ozarks, and then people that don't know about the full scope of the world, and so they think it's a sea. And it was really known for its violent storms. It had some really crazy storms on there. They would get really high winds. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat when it starts to storm, but it's kind of scary. It's a little uncomfortable, especially when you start seeing it starts getting really windy and the boat starts rocking because of all the chop on the water. Not a fun time. And so in this story, we have Jesus and the disciples traveling across the Sea of Galilee, across this lake, and a storm begins to blow. And so we'll begin reading in verse 22. One day when he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" So this sounds like a fun story just in itself, right? Like, there's this crazy storm that settles on. They're on a boat. It's like really uncomfortable. Jesus is asleep in the boat. Now, something else that we might need to note is that a few of the 12, at least we know for certain, were master sailors. They were fishermen by trade. We can recall this specifically with Simon Peter and James. They were master fishermen, so they were fishing all day. So they would have known about these violent storms. They would have known that when you were on the lake and a storm came, you needed to get off the water. And that's probably why they were so afraid, because they knew what could happen. And yet, what is Jesus doing? He's just sound asleep on a rocking boat. He was calm. We notice in verse 24, it says he wakes up and rebukes the wind and the sea calms, and the disciples were really kind of just amazed. Read verse 25 again. Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." See, I think the first thing we need to know about this passage is that the disciples weren't wrong in being afraid. I think it's perfectly natural to be afraid, perfectly okay to be afraid in a storm. That's okay. But where they were wrong is they didn't put their trust in what Jesus had for them. And honestly, if I'm being transparent with you this morning, I struggle to put my trust in Jesus sometimes when the storms of life come. I've been taking a apologetics class this semester, and the professor is a big philosophy guy. In fact, he has a PhD in philosophy. I don't know how you could read that many philosophical textbooks and still be awake, but he does it. And so one of the books that he's had us read over the semester is called You Are Not Your Own by Alan Noble. And this book's premise is that in a society where our identity is rooted in what we can do and what we can do by ourselves and how we're our own person, that we actually are created in God's image and we are not our own. We belong to the one who created us. And see, I think that's the big problem with the disciples. In a moment of fear, they forgot who they belonged to. They began to think that they didn't have the power to save themselves. See, in America, can I bring it to you guys in a context of today? In America, we oftentimes, well, America as a culture oftentimes puts God on the back burner or just throws him away altogether. And the case that Mr. Noble makes in his book is that when you throw God away, then you try to figure out everything on yourself. You look to the world for the things that God should be providing you. In church, the world will never meet your expectations. It may for a moment. It may satisfy an urge or desire you have in that specific moment, but it won't satisfy over time. It has no, you're sacrificing an eternal moment for a momentary satisfaction. And as I was thinking about this text, I was reminded of my first time ever going into a gas chamber in the military. Now, gas chamber, that sounds scary. It's not a lot of fun. It actually is pretty scary, at least the first time you do it. Now I would do it with no problem. But I remember this day like it was yesterday. We had marched across Fort Leonard Wood to this little itty-bitty concrete building. If you can picture like a woodshed you might put out behind your house, like one of those that you could go buy at a hardware store, maybe a little bit bigger than that, but not much. And so we march out there. I remember specifically we all got really excited because the drill sergeants had offered us chocolate milk. And that had been something that we hadn't had. I hadn't had it. We were about 7 weeks into training. And so getting near the end, I hadn't been able to have anything besides water and white milk. And so I was really excited to get some chocolate milk for the first time. Little did I know, chocolate milk produces mucus. Mucus is not good in connection with the gas chamber. And so that became an uncomfortable experience. But if I said that I wasn't afraid in that moment, I would be lying to you. See, the gas chamber in the military really serves a purpose. The purpose of the gas chamber is not so you can go in there and be bullied about being afraid about some gas. It's really so that you learn to place trust in the equipment that you have. The gas chamber, when you go in there, you put on your mask, and then you crack the seal, and you get that first taste of gas, and it burns, and it's nasty, and then you put the mask back on, and you seal it, and then you're breathing normal again. And then they force you to take it off and hold it out, and as you're holding it out, you're getting the full effects of the gas, and that exercise is designed so you have faith in the equipment that's been presented for you. So my question for you this morning is, do you put your faith or trust in God when the storms of life come? Because church, they're going to come. We oftentimes think like, oh man, we follow God and so those storms aren't gonna come for us because God will give us prosperity. But even as I was driving here this morning, I was thinking of a man like David, a man that's in the heroes of the faith in Hebrew chapter 11. And yet many storms came, some by his own actions, others because he just didn't follow God's will. And so I wonder this morning, as we go out this week, where is your faith? Where is your trust? Is it in the God of fear, like the disciples in this moment? Or is it in the God of promises that offers us eternal hope? Is it in the God that delivered his people through the Exodus, the wandering in the desert, through the freedom from captivity? Is it in the God that sent a son to die for us, even though we didn't deserve it? Is it in the God that uses the storms of our lives to refine us and make us look more like him? If it is, then live like it. Don't let the fear of the unknown, don't let the storms that come impact the way that we trust our God when tough times come, remember that we can trust God because He loves us. And I think if we fail to realize that no matter how much we try, we'll never satisfy our inner desire to bear the image of the one who created us. And so, as we go out this week, don't forget where your strength and your refuge comes from. Don't forget about the one that you can trust when the difficult times may hit. I'm personally going to be relying on God a lot this week, working on papers in preparation to finish another year of school. And it's a stressful time, and the storms are going to come this week. There's going to be things that people want me to do that I'm probably going to have to say no to, or maybe I do them, and it's going to force me to work a little bit harder. But, man, it would be a lot harder if I didn't have the strength that God provides. And so, as we go out this week, just remember the strength and remember where the strength comes from.